Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, and thank you for joining us in the Extra Hour. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat and Chris. You know, if you're listening and you just came back in the Extra Hour, I want to thank you for coming back. And there was an incident. There was an incident with the truck. You know, I don't appreciate some of this humor, you know.
I love it. What are you talking about?
I don't appreciate it. I mean, and you should have seen him. We're going to talk about him today. He's listening.
That's a beautiful truck, man.
And he's driving my truck. I mean, if you've been in the vehicle, I mean, you've been.
Well,
in the
I couldn't fit in it. I mean, I can.
Oh yeah, but he's driving. Greg driving. Talking about Greg driving.
Right.
I mean, you know how the roads have those little reflectors, you know, normally to warn you, you know, when you're on the edge,
like you're crossing the line.
Yeah, you know. To awaken you if you fall asleep. It is a thunderous sensation underneath the car. It's vibrating.
Yeah, right.
You feel like you're going to fall out the car maybe, right? None of those warnings helped them.
None of those warnings
indicated that there was danger. And I thought maybe the huge 4-foot-tall barrel orange with the blinking light would be an indication not to get close.
Oh, one of those. Oh, my goodness. Those are huge.
And he's like, whoosh. The cone flies 10 feet in the air.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Are we going to get arrested here? What is happening? My truck.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was like flaming orange on one side. Just nice. You know, but that,
yeah, you needed some color to it.
You know, that truck has. You think cats have 9 lives. Chris knows how many lives that truck
has.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. The time you were coming to the house and you... drove into the...
I think his knees were blocking his vision. That's probably what it was. He just couldn't see past his knees.
Did you hear what happened to that? Did you hear what happened to that truck that day? Sad.
That day?
Whoa.
Is that the same day you wrecked it?
No. Chris was talking about the day Chris was talking about.
Oh, I missed that. Sorry.
On my way to help a brother. Mm-hmm. On my way to help a brother. Sad.
What happened?
Sad.
What?
Well, he was on the way to the house to help me out because I was painting the house, and he was on his way there, and he was coming around that embankment, and drove into the
that one on New Warrington.
Yes.
Oh, that one. The turn of death.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We've known
that's a treacherous turn.
It is. Yeah. I remember mom flipped her truck on that one, and he drove into the railing of the bridge.
Oh, that's right. Someone flipped a truck on that too.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Your mom was in that truck.
That's right. Yeah, she flipped it right into the median.
Oh my gosh. That's right. That's a
So that's where you wrecked your truck, right there?
Yeah, it was raining. Oh, wow. And I spun out and I hit the side of that rail on my way to see Chris. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh no.
To go help him paint.
To help him paint.
And he still showed up.
He still went.
I told him to go.
Bless your heart.
I was going to go.
He loves me.
I can't forget
about how God sold that truck.
Oh my goodness.
That was amazing. Yes.
That was amazing.
Totally amazing.
I mean, it had a busted right eye. I mean,
you never get it fixed.
It was like something like $1,800 just to fix that one side. It was banged up so bad.
Never mind.
So I'm thinking, well, I think I'll have to drive it like this for a little while. There's a lesson learned in this, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
But even with all of that smashing, you know, it was an obedience thing. Long story real short, I was supposed to stay at this, I was going to get new employment. I was giving my full 2 weeks notice a situation that wasn't really good, but mm-hmm. just honoring God, doing, trying to do the right thing, you know.
Right.
And I was, you normally park the truck on the side of the business, but since I was leaving, you know, I just started parking it in the front.
Right.
And not in special parking type of thing. And long story short, somebody wanted to buy this truck. I might have shared this before. Oh. Just that morning, I told my wife, says, you know, we're going to have a child. This is like, gosh, almost 13 years ago. So we're going to have a baby. We need to get rid of this truck. We need to get another car and mm-hmm. just agree with me. They're going to pray it. Mm-hmm. I sell it. Mm-hmm. Long story short, God sends five Mexicans from Mexico, literally, Mexico City.
That's right.
In a huge Suburban. And there's a whole long story with this, but the end of it, the miracle was that same exact day that we agreed in prayer.
Oh, wow.
God sold that truck and gave me really excellent money for it. I mean, I went to the bank and everything and just trusted God. I said, this is what they said it's worth, man. And he said, stick out your hand. And I counted up the $100 bills and put it in my hand.
Wow.
The next vehicle I got was through a tremendous blessing too. It was the van, and I sold that. I sold that van.
Yep.
4 or 5 years later.
Yep. They come knocking on your door, right?
So another Mexican guy.
Same guys.
Greg's like, "Oh, you're called Mexico.
You're called Mexico."
I was actually praying at that time too. There's a connection here, praying and you know blessing.
Amen.
I was
that.
Praying. I just finished abiding. I was on the couch. Mm-hmm. I was praying. Someone knocks on the door. And the van was in the driveway.
That's right.
And I had told Teresa earlier, see about getting rid of this thing. Just, you know,
just
I don't want it no more. And just see if you can give it to somebody, whatever. And mm-hmm. and he comes by and says, you want to sell that van? I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. I told him, I looked him. This is my second time around. I looked him straight in the eye. Says, I don't know if you believe in miracles. I said, but you are in right now in the middle of this miracle. And
you're
going
to
buy
it.
This van.
That's right.
You know? And so, and he's like, how are you so convinced I'm going to buy it? He doesn't know that I would have gave him the van. You know what I'm saying? I said, you're going to buy this van today.
That's
and
right.
I said, just give me a price. And he gave me a price. I said, here you go. It's sold. Here's the keys.
Wow.
And just God, you
know.
But
good.
God will bless you. You know, God will bless you. All these blessings, all these things, God will take care of you. You know, I've never seen the Lord not take care of his people. And it's just so beautiful when God does it like that.
I know.
You know, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
You'll never forget it. You'll mm-hmm. never forget
it's imprinted
it.
Forever.
If you're struggling today in your finances and you know, let me tell you something. Honor the Lord. Do what's right. And God will bless you. He has a desire to bless you. And we have stories like this. We can go on and on and on.
Oh, I know.
But he is just too good.
That's right.
But if you're joining us in the extra hour, you know, we ended the first hour. We're talking the first hour about the Fourth Amendment rights and how important it is for us to know what happened. I mean, who knew? Who knew that the king was trying to just exact some taxes, passing out these stamps,
mm-hmm.
and they wrote an act that allowed their British soldiers to actually go and write their own search warrant to check to see if you had the stamp on your little book or whatever you bought.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just searching all your stuff. And they said, listen, when we leave these folks here, we start this new government, we need to have some rights. We need to have some protection. And up until, you know, here recently, we've had all pretty much this protection. But now with the internet and just emails and all this different types of stuff, you have all of this data, all of your personal information that's stored. And today, the Senate is looking at some major legislation that should control this. You know, could
mm-hmm.
hopefully say, listen, we need to defend the Constitution. This should be a real no-brainer.
Right.
But what you know, it's because there's the outdated law, the electronics, I believe it's the Electronics Communications Privacy Act. Which in fact was no privacy at all. Any of your emails on Google, Gmail, Yahoo, anything that's on that server over 180 days is considered abandoned. Think about that. And they do not need a search warrant to go and retrieve that information.
Wow.
If it's stored on your computer now, it's different. But if it's stored in a server and it's just outdated, it just needs to be fixed because I mean, think about it. The CIA's email. Like, oh my goodness.
Right. Won't be using that server.
Oh no. But none of them. And you think about even like what's happening in New York. The Daily the Call is reporting that the New York Police Department, they have been creating a database of logs from stolen cell phones without the victim's consent. So, you know, basically they're able to get the subpoena that basically includes to get the phone call records. Includes like the thief's calls made to and from the victim's phone and whether the number was transferred. Anyway, all that information is entered into a database, and they call it the Enterprise Case Management System, where each number is hyperlinked and cross-referenced with numbers and other records in the database. And it's like, what in the world? So your personal phone could be stolen. Mm-hmm. This is New York now.
Right.
And all this, your information is just being taken off your phone.
Wow.
And they're really looking at the legality of all of this. But if you don't, the importance of what we're talking about today is that if you don't know what your constitutional rights, we've had this conversation with people, and sometimes you hear people say, well, I don't have anything on you. Well, a lot of people don't, but that's not the point.
Not the point, right.
It's not the point. If that's happening today, you know, could you imagine? Back when the colonists were like, well, I haven't bought anything on Amazon lately. I haven't bought a book. Who cares? I don't have a stamp. Mm-hmm. Until that day.
That's right.
You know, remember that absolute power corrupts absolutely. So
that's right.
We have checks and balances for a reason. And while we have it, I mean, while we live in America, while we have this great document, we at least should honor it, you know, respect it, try to keep it.
Exactly.
Because it allows us, you know, for us that are believers, to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can, trust me, if they can tear down one of these amendments, believe you me, there's others
they're next. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we can trust God and all that. We talked about the fiscal cliff at the first hour. But what we're going to do today is we're going to play an interesting segment because, you know, we want to talk about rethinking church. Rethinking church and kind of recalibrating and refocusing and letting the main thing be the main thing, if you will. You know, it's Jesus Christ, his church, and the advancement of his kingdom. I mean, Paul said, I resolved to know Jesus and him crucified. And so we're going to play the segment entitled, Does Money Determine Your Obedience to the Call? Very, very important question. Because, Pat, Chris, you can't serve both God and money.
Nope.
You can't serve them both. And it's time to rethink this. It's time to look at this. You know, the church is not a building. We talk about this often. The church is God's people.
That's right.
And in this segment, we share that, you know, is there pay? So if the only reason you're taking care of God's people is because there's pay associated with that. But you're a hireling.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason why you're taking care of God's people, you know, and the only reason why you preach or share the gospel is because you're paid, or the only reason why you minister in song or in worship is because someone giving you a fee.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, that's not right. Mm-hmm. You're a hireling. We're supposed to love the church, serve the church, and it's not to be based upon whether finances are involved. We're talking about rethinking church. We're talking about reexamining why we do what we do for God.
That's right.
And we're not supposed to be focused on buildings. Instead, we're supposed to be focusing on God's people. Listen up. We'll come back and talk about this more. Yeah, listen up.
Well, you know, it couldn't be any more of a clearer choice. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour today, rethinking church. And the thinking is the primary word in that. And if it's in the Bible and if it's right, you can think about it all day long. Meditate on the church. Meditate on what God says about the church. And if you missed yesterday, you can go to Original Intent of the Church on the VFN Torch and on your app and listen. Begin to listen. Just dare to ask God questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I doing what I'm doing? Ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Don't be scared of that question. Right. Because if you're doing what's right, God's going to answer you through his word. This is why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if God says, finally, you ask the question, why are you doing what you're doing 15 minutes a week on Sundays?
Right.
You're asking the question. And God will answer you. And because the church is not a place to go to, the church is a people that's called out one. We're called out from the world, and we're a people, and we're a nation, a holy nation of priests and kings, and our King Jesus is over us, and we have a mission statement, and we have a direct word from the creator of the universe what we're supposed to do. So make sure you tune in the extra hour to listen to Rethinking the Church segment. And if you are nervous you're thinking, oh my goodness, I can't let anybody in my church hear this, then you need to hear it for yourself and then share it with your church and realize that if that scares you, that's a control issue and you're feeling like you're the one that it's your kingdom and not God's.
Right.
And the way to test that out, have them stop paying you for 6 months and see if you still stay there.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And if you still stay there, I'm serious. Just to test your heart out, you don't know. To say, listen, I want everything that's due me, and you should be, there's no reason for you not to be compensated in your pastor in a church if that's what they want to do. But understand this, that you'll be able to check your heart out and to say, I don't know, just give it to a transient or something for 6 months.
Yeah.
Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So if your treasure is God's people, if you're overseeing God's people because you love them, then you're not going to abandon them like a hireling. You're going to stick with them. You're going to do whatever you got to do to be faithful to them. If they stop paying you and you start putting an application somewhere else, then you're a hireling. You know, we're kind of ahead of ourselves on rethinking the truth. Hang in there now. We're there. and understand if we've gone so astray from this, we may have to just go to an extreme to put ourselves back in the right kind of mode.
Mm-hmm.
But if in fact, you know, the only reason that you're not in ministry because it doesn't pay well, if the only reason that you are where you are because it does pay, both those motives are wrong. Because the Lord didn't say, if you get paid right, if you get paid anything, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. You know, he just said, go.
That's right.
And he also said this, you cannot serve both God and money. Mm-hmm. We talked about that yesterday. Whoever controls the economy controls the vision. Well, whoever controls your economy, sir, ma'am, controls the vision. Listen, we got to get this. The economy is never going to get right in America if the church doesn't get our economy right in ourselves. We have to make our bed when it comes to the economy and our finances. Because remember, I was invited once to speak to a group of ministers, and I wasn't, you know, planning on it. I don't ever seek places to speak. You know, I'm speaking now. I just got to maintain my vocal cords. But I was there, Brother Kim was there, you know, my spiritual father, he invited me to go speak, and I spoke. I just shared what was on my heart. And I shared kind of about that, didn't I? I shared kind of about, you know, so you find out if they're there for the paycheck or not when they start getting paid. And I thought, and he looks at me and goes, this is good. You need to come back and do it again.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, great. He says, and so then later on, I'm at another meeting, I'm finding out somebody was simmering over that statement for a long, long time.
Right.
And they were simmering because they didn't like that statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea. I was just sharing what God had laid on my heart, you know. And, you know, we all can know in part and prophesy in part, and we all can be wrong. But if it stirred your cookies like that much,
yeah,
you know, try 6 months without a form of receiving revenues from the ministry to just check it out. You know, I don't know, give it to a widow or something in the ones that you're responsible for. Oh, pay somebody's rent.
Yeah.
Help somebody's power bill. They're getting so large now, the power. Buy somebody's groceries. And just check your heart out and see, because if if the leadership, if we in leadership don't get it right, how is the flock going to get it right? Mm-hmm. The reason why that the Catholic Church originally did not want the people to have the word, because it was way back when, was not now, but then, because the leaders were living exorbitant lifestyles. And if the common plowman and the peasants got the word of God, they would find out it's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
And so they kept it from them. And I forget the name of that. They have a whole era about, a name of that era, but it was about living lavish lifestyles of the religious and the famous.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
That was very good.
And lifestyles of the religious and the famous. Join us next week. We'll show you the homes and the pools and the cars and the watches, mm-hmm, and more ignorance. The but the leadership doesn't get it right. So we got to rethink this. Ultimately, we're all going. Every one of us. I don't care if you're the person who can't even read the Bible because you're struggling in your ability to read, or you're the person who's teaching from the Bible, teaching it, that that we're all answer alone before God. Mm-hmm. Every one of us answer alone before God.
Right.
And so don't think about what other people think about what you're doing. Realize you're going to have to answer to God for what you did. No witnesses, no suspects. You hear me say all the time, but I'm trying to give you a perspective so that when you do stand alone before God, you would have already went to the cross and made things right with God. Because once you're standing at the throne of God, which happens the moment you're no longer standing on earth, mm-hmm, when you die, you're going to be standing in the presence of God. And it's going to be too late. You cannot at that point, while you're standing before God, go, I'd like Jesus, please forgive me. Right. I mean, it's not going to work, right?
That's right.
You would have had to done it before your appointed time of death comes. So I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm trying to give you a destiny of eternal life, mm-hmm, and no regrets when you stand before the throne of God. And it's really not about, it's such a shallow existence if you think it's about money. Mm-hmm. It's a very shallow existence. I was talking to some people recently about, you know, Tozer says this. A.W. Tozer says, you know, it's about the blessed. He has a chapter in one of his books. I don't know what the name of his book is. Is the blessedness of possessing nothing.
Right, the pursuit of God.
The pursuit of God. And one of his chapters.
Classic.
Is the blessedness of possessing nothing. I remember a particular man that had nothing. Had nothing, mm-hmm, in even what he had was about to be taken from him. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do at all. And so he just sat and waited on God. God, I'm not gonna, and people began to say, you're going to have to do something. He says, I'm going to wait on God. I'm just going to wait on God. I don't care how long it takes. I don't know. I'm just going to wait on God. Well, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your car. Mm-hmm. Because he's been doing it himself prior to that, and it didn't work out. So this time he's going to wait on God. We've all been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, his wife comes in there and begins to ridicule him and, you know, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that, and, you know, all this different kind of stuff. And because she's seeing the consequences of him waiting on God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is a powerful thing to do, by the way, that when you've made all these mistakes and you've realized when God began to do something in my life, what began in the spirit, I did it. And turned up doing it in the flesh, and I started, mm-hmm, doing it myself and kind of left God behind. And so he's waiting. And so, I don't know, after 6 months possibly.
Mm-hmm. Six months.
I don't know. It was a long period of time. it was a long period of time. God just gives him a business. Gives him a business. Totally just glorifies his name, God's name, mm-hmm, in his life, because they saw him wait. They saw him willing to lose everything because he wanted to hear from God. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up being over a million dollars in sales on an annual basis. Mm. Makes you want to wait on God, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was, as soon as he waited on God and God blessed him with this, mm-hmm, then he tried to keep what he never got in the first place. And then he started talking about,
you know, ways to be able, started panicking that he's going to lose his stuff, the stuff that he didn't even have in the first place. Now he's worried about losing his stuff.
Sounds like Jeroboam, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then God required it of him. And took it from him.
Mm.
I mean, he could say, I willingly gave it up. Either way, mm-hmm. it's gone.
That's right.
What happened? You know, what happened that all of a sudden, you know, when you started obeying God and it was just you and God, it was the blessed, you weren't even thinking about stuff or things, and you just loved God so much, you wanted to just do whatever he wanted. But all of a sudden, as you're walking in obedience to him, then God started giving you some things, and then it became about keeping the things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The fear of losing things. And it's like, how did your worship move from me to money? Don't you understand you can't worship them both?
Right.
How did all of a sudden you going into all the world and letting people know I love them and preaching the kingdom of God, not salvation, but preaching the kingdom of God, now you're preaching the kingdom of your building and your building program and your board of directors, you know, and all this different stuff. It's like, how did it get that way? And how come you celebrate now that somebody can be in your presence for 6 months and not even know you're the church? And you see that as a positive thing. Well, how did it get to that?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Wouldn't it be better to have everything removed from our lives so we get back to the blessedness of possessing nothing?
Mm.
I mean, the only reason we should be holding on to things we should do it loosely is to be able to be faithful to God. If God gives you a Bible, hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just give away your Bible. I mean, there's things that you know, you need to provide for your family. I mean, you need, don't somebody just take your house. But then again, don't worship your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God gives you a gathering place. You know, gather in it. But don't worship it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And oh, so yeah. We got to begin to rethink, you know, what are we calling church? Because church is not a building. It's people.
Right.
If every time you ride by an address and you point at a building that nobody's in and you call that building the church, and everybody you see, you say, you need to come to our church, and or you have a pen on your blouse or your shirt that says, I love my church, and you're referring to an organization or a building, I just challenge you that... something's wrong with the DNA of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all of a sudden it was originally about people and you're willing to do anything for people, but now you're throwing people on the furnace of the debt of your building and your building plan and your organization and your programs, and you're not even thinking about them. And we know this proved positive, and I'm thankful for anybody it's doing whatever you can do for God and helping whatever level. And you got to have orphanages if you don't have parents. So orphanages are very good without having parents. We talked about the institutionalized church yesterday, so we're not going to go there. I'm not saying that's a negative thing. If you don't have a fear of the Lord too, you need fences.
Mm-hmm.
But we have on the event torch where you have this large gathering in that context of a building doing a good thing, a very good thing. And all of a sudden in the context of that building, with this whole group of believers that are there, it was revealed that there's no relationships. Mm-hmm. They don't even know each other. Because while they were delivering the message, somebody stood up in that crowd and began to yell at the pastor there. You're probably looking at about 2,000, 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. And started coming against what he was preaching.
Right.
And so they ushered that person out. And everybody's clapping, yay! Well, you understand, they didn't know that person was even there until they stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And we dealt with that problem. And then all of a sudden, another one stood up and started yelling. This is in a building that one would call, and from traditional sense, a church. But the reality was the church is the people that were there, but in the midst of them were wolves, but nobody even knew it. And now on the other side of the church, the group of people, I don't know about the people, all of a sudden somebody stands up and begins to do the same thing the other one did.
Mm.
And then all the sheep look that way and they take that one out anything. We finally got him. And then another one stood, and another one stood, and another one stood, and another one stood, and another one stood. That is proof positive, church, that we, Paul said, I warned you day and night that wolves would come in amongst you with tears. I never stopped warning you. And the way that we're doing it, the way that we're fellowshipping, the way that we're gathering, if we don't even know that we're sitting right next to a wolf, they didn't even know. They were right next to somebody who was filled with demonic intentions to do damage to Israel and damage to the church. And they didn't know. And I understand why they didn't know, because that kind of system is not relational. And you can have relationships in a big building, because you can break down into smaller families and give authority to the pastors to be autonomous in the context of their following the Holy Spirit. But understand this. If Al-Qaeda stands up in the midst of your congregation, you don't even know they're there.
Mm.
Something's wrong. And then you think you dealt it all, and it pops up again and pops up again. Mm. Realize that you're responsible for those sheep who you didn't even know. You allowed a methodology that allow wolves to come in amongst them. When Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament under the unction of the Holy Spirit, said, I warned you day and night they would come in, and what we're doing is allowing them to come in.
So, so important. We're talking about, does money determine your obedience to the call? You know, how far have we've gone at the church at large?
Right.
Think about it. I mean, I love Tozer's book. I love Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God, and that chapter he talks about is chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
the blessedness of possessing nothing. You know, sometimes, you know, what Abraham found out was that his true wealth, although he was very, very wealthy, mm-hmm. that his true wealth was internal and eternal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, you know, I think that we have become so full and so rich off of things that all of a sudden now, you know, we got to ask the question. We got to ask the question that when we first started, you know, if you first started ministry, if it was all about the people, at what point did it turn for you
mm-hmm.
and it became about a building?
Right.
I mean, think about it. And God's people, God's sheep are not being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's time. It's time for an army. And I believe there is a new army, a new spiritual army, if you will, of faith, faceless and selfless warriors for God that understand that the greatest joy there is to be able to serve God, is to be able to help other people. Right. You know, I mean, let me tell you something. You don't need to. You can get a job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You if finances is what you need, you can get a job. Some right. of the greatest ministry occurs in the workplace.
That's right.
You know, but if the only reason. That you're ministering in that church or that location or with those people or is so that you can get a check. Let me tell you something. It's time for you to do something else.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it really is. It's time for you to do something else, and you need to return back to your first love. You need to repent, because it's a great privilege and an honor to be able to share with God's people and to be able to serve them.
That's right.
And Jesus said that whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done to me.
That's right.
And so they must be honored. They must be thought about in this whole thing. So, I mean, rethinking church, we're going to have to rethink about this. We're going to have to refocus, and it's okay. Let me tell you something. It's okay to examine yourself. You know
what I'm saying?
That's right. It's okay. Why do you go to the doctor? You need a checkup. You know what I'm saying? You got to make sure everything is right, everything is
That's
good.
Right.
You got to look underneath the hood.
Right.
Well, my goodness, we got to look underneath the hood here of the church. We got to see everything is the way God wants it to be and make the necessary changes so that we can honor God. That's the number one and chief thing. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways will end up following some ways that are not his ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFN VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNfamily.org. VFNfamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, VFNfamily.org, VFNfamily.org. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today, what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend
Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, and thank you for joining us in the Extra Hour. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. You know, I was listening to the commercial. I'm telling you, listen, if you heard the last segment, you were joining us for the Extra Hour, and we talked about this, money determine your obedience to the call of God on your life. If you listen to that story and you're saying, listen, that, you know what, I want to serve God. I want to throw myself fully into the harvest. I want to be a faceless and selfless warrior for the Lord, and I want to be in the harvest. Let me tell you, maybe VFNU is for you. I mean, it's time. I mean, if you want to be trained up, if you want to be ready to advance God's kingdom, if you want to be on the front lines and be a part of this third great awakening, and you want your life to matter in the kingdom, you want to do something significantly for God before this thing called life, this vapor, is over, and we spend eternity reviewing what we did or didn't do for him. Mm. Let me tell you something. If you want to be trained up and ready to go, maybe you need to check out VFNU. That's Vine Fellowship University, and you can check it out at vfnu.org.
That's right.
Now, as we come to the end of this Extra Hour, we do want to share the wisdom moment with you today. And our wisdom moment is found in Proverbs 29, verse 10. Bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity and seek to kill the upright. Bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity and seek to kill the upright. You know, sometimes, Pat, Chris, sometimes, in your walk with God, you just need to understand some things. You need to get some clarity. And clarity and understanding is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
I'm saying, you know, to grasp, to understand, to comprehend what is actually happening. what is going on? I mean, sometimes you're not going to have that luxury or that liberty to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're given that opportunity, it's a good thing. And that's what understanding does. Understanding alleviates frustration and confusion.
Right.
Because if you don't understand, you're like, I know something is happening, but I don't know why this is happening. And so you may have wondered if you're a believer and you've been trying to do the right thing. You're trying to walk with integrity and you want to honor the Lord in your everyday. You just don't want to be a hearer of God's word, but you want to be a doer. You want to implement and you want God to be the Lord of your life. You want Jesus to be the Lord, which means that it's not your way or what's the easy way, but it's God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's God's way, that means it's the right way.
That's right.
It's the right way before Him and before others. And you may be wondering, why are people hating on you? You know what I'm saying? Why is everybody hating on me?
Right.
You know, said bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity and seek to kill the upright.
Hmm.
You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11, for we are not ignorant of his, we're talking about the devil, of his schemes.
Right.
You know, listen, this is what the devil does. He schemes, he plans strategies, he's got no new tricks. And that's what they are, tricks, deception. Not real.
Right.
But he does have a strategy. He does have a plan. And when you think about this proverb, when you think about that there's bloodthirsty men who hate a man that's trying to do right, a woman that's trying to do right before God, kind of makes you think. Now, if you're a believer out there and you're trying to do the right thing, it's like, oh, okay, all right, I'm getting it. This is understanding here. Is that what's been happening to me?
Right.
See, you understand that there are men and women that exist right now that literally hate your existence. And we can't be naive about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you've experienced this at work. You know, you're just trying to do the right thing, but there's just people that it's just not connecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your presence, not because you're obnoxiously going around with a Jesus pin or you're quoting a scripture to them all the time, because you're just trying to do the right thing. We're talking about doing the right thing.
Right.
There are some people that just want to get over, you know, and just have no qualms and don't want to hear the truth. Maybe you've experienced this, you know, at school. I mean, from grade school to college, you know, you got to pray for our young people. They're going to school oftentimes with, you know, you and I can choose where we work and who we hang around with, but a child oftentimes has to be in a certain class at a certain school among certain people during that time period, and they got to deal with it.
All right.
They have to deal with it. And it's nothing like, a young person who's just totally given over to their flesh and doesn't want anything to do with God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because everything in this world just appeals to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you've experienced this. Maybe it's even amongst your own family.
Oh yeah.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
There are people. Whoa. We won't ask no questions there. We won't ask no questions. There are people that the Word of God tells us have been taken captive to do the enemy's will. 2 Timothy 2:26. I mean, they've been taken captive. They oftentimes don't even know why. And so you gotta ask a question like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Well, think about it. If someone doesn't have the desire to live God's way, they have no desire to honor God, and you're trying to honor God, your mere presence convicts them. Your mere presence reminds them that what they're doing is not right. Again, we're trying to emphasize that I'm not talking about someone being religious or obnoxious, and you know, because God is the one that's doing that. I mean, beating people over the head with scriptures and all that. I mean, I love what Francis Assisi says. I love what he says. He says, preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words.
Right.
We're talking about a lifestyle. We're talking about people that just, you know, your presence just drives them bonkers, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And causes them to want to just to hate you. And they're not really hating on you. They're hating who's inside of you. You know, sometimes it starts like, you're just a goody two-shoes. You're just a goody two-shoes. You know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, the word tells us.
Right.
And if someone says that to you, I mean, come on now. You of all people, if you have been saved by the Lord, now you know that you're not no goody two-shoes.
I know where I came from.
You know where you came from. It's like, do you know what God rescued me from?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I am without Jesus Christ? Do you know if God just took his pinky off, where I would go? But yet, you're saying you're a goody. No, I'm not a goody two-shoes. I'm doing everything that I can to serve the one who saved me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving in to sin and the ways of this world. I want to honor him. I mean, I've been bought. I owe my life.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that's good is Father God.
That's right.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about this. 1 John 3:12 says, do not be like Cain. Listen to this now. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother.
Mm.
And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evils and his brothers were righteous.
Right.
I mean, come on now. He says, verse 13, and do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. I mean, don't think it's strange. You got to need some understanding, because you know, you could be naive. I'm like, oh, why can't we all get along? What's going on? Jesus is good, man. What's the problem here? It's like, oh, okay. I mean, look at what bloodthirsty men did to Jesus. Think about that. What they did to Jesus, they burned with jealousy and anger over him, over someone. Listen, I mean, who could hate Jesus? A good, righteous, I'm saying, savior, man, fully God, fully man. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
If they hated Jesus.
That's right.
And now we're not looking to be hated. We're not looking to be martyrs unnecessarily now, but you got to look at the big picture. Jesus said, be careful when everyone's speaking well of you.
That's right.
So what can we do? I mean, what can we do? Well, the first thing we can do is what we're talking about right now, and that's being aware. Understanding this alone is going to be huge, because you're not going to be walking blindsided.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And share it with your children.
That's right.
Your children are probably experiencing it. They probably tell you. You're not getting clobbered and not knowing why.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that something's going on. Luke 6:27 says, but I tell you, hear me. Second thing you could do is love your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, what can you do? Love your enemies. The third thing you could do is do good to those who hate you, right?
Right.
And then the fourth thing says, pray for those who mistreat you. You can love, do good, and pray. I'm going to say it again. Love, do good, and pray. Because really, the person doesn't even know why they're saying what they're saying, why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they've been taken captive, by the enemy, it's like a puppet.
That's right.
And what they need to be prayed for. They need for us to realize that we're not going to take it personal. This is spiritual warfare. It's a war.
That's right.
There's a war, between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, between God and the devil and heaven or hell. Let me tell you something. God wins. God always wins. But now there are some situations that are toxic, and it's just wise that you don't need to be around. And if at all, if you could avoid it, this situation that you just realize this is not, we just need to revisit this person again, or we need to revisit this situation. You want to use wisdom and use your best judgment. But either way, remember this. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
Right.
And if you prayed about it, God's still allowing that situation, these people, that person, this thorn in yours. Let me tell you something. God did it for a reason. Yeah, he allowed it for a reason, rather. And you can always have the opportunity to cry out to God for wisdom, for guidance, for protection, for grace, 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 grace. Because let me tell you something. If we don't show the love, wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it to suffer like that? Wouldn't it be worth it to go through a trying time like that,
right,
so that someone can come to God?
That's right.
Let me tell you something. It's nothing like going through a situation where they're hitting on you,
mm-hmm,
and seeing that same situation come out where they come out while I'm serving a loving God. Listen, the wisdom moment for today is found in Proverbs 29:10. Bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity and seek to kill the upright.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.